Time to visit with State Senator Jesse Green. He is our guest on our legislative review today. And Senator, thanks for taking some time to visit with us. Been a busy week for you down there.
Well, thanks for having me. And yeah, this is a final week is coming upon us here in 2 weeks. And so we're trying to get through our subcommittee assignments. And so a lot of different topics coming through, but a lot of activity as well as visitors to the Capitol. We had our FFA day on the Hill. And that's always fun to see the Capitol packed with FFA students, and got to talk with them about some of the issues that are affecting them. And it was a good week for them to come down because there's a couple ag bills that dropped that caught their curiosity, whether that's DNR land acquisition, foreign land ownership in Iowa, and issues like that. So, but yeah, it's been a fun week.
And you have a couple of pretty. Well, I would say, let's call them pretty achieved FFA chapters that have achieved very well. I mean, not just Boone, but you've got Ogden, you know, and I know some of the Gilbert people come over this way. So you got a lot of opportunity to visit with a lot of fine young people.
Yeah, pretty much each group brought about 7-8 kids. I think it was intentionally capped per chapter how many kids they could bring. Me personally, I was able to meet up with Panora students, then Boone students, and that was the only two I was able to actually personally come. They're only here for a couple hours, sure. And just chaos for that 2 hours, so it's kind of hard to touch base with everybody.
Well, they get a chance to get down there and see everybody and get their picture taken, too, so we got that.
Yeah.
That was good. Let's talk a little bit about some of those ag bills, things that you did have a chance to visit with them about. You talked a little bit about the foreign land ownership, and I know this is not only a federal thing, folks. This is something we're doing at the state level. You guys are trying to put some containment on that.
Well, in order to have this conversation, we need to know who owns property in Iowa, and that to me is the most alarming thing. Is when of the LLCs that own property, it sounds like it's close to 50% in some estimation that we don't know how many of those LLCs, who they are and who they're linked to. And so that's, you know, a lot of the laws that we have that were put into place were actually from Chuck Grassley, ironically, back in his last year down to Iowa Capitol. So that would have been about 1971 or so. Just amazing when you look at the history of that. But we still are considered of state laws to have some of the gold standard of land protections in the United States. But we definitely need to update the process when an LLC purchases property, some of the paperwork that they need to do to make sure that we know what the purpose is of the ownership from a foreign company and who's all linked to it. And so that's at the heart of this bill. Is it will create one extra hurdle at that point of purchase for these companies.
Just a little more, at least deeper visibility into, because you get those LLCs established, and again, for most people, they can't tell very much about them, just that they're there.
And some LLCs have other subsidiaries underneath them, and so it can get complicated and kind of a web. We need to just shed more light on it.
Okay. Well, with the funnel coming up quickly, and I know that means you guys got to get some things taken care of and get them out of committees. What are some of the things you've been working on your committees?
Yeah, so local government has been really fun. It's the committee that I chair. I'm really honored to chair that. I've got a lot of rock stars on my committee that were former mayors or council people or school board members, so a lot of expertise on there that I can lean on. And one of the bills just today that I was able to run a subcommittee on was in regards to public school properties and how they get rid of some old school buildings and whatnot. And what a situation that we're seeing, especially in this post-school choice world, is are some public schools that would rather bury their old buildings and sell them to a private school. And I just don't think that's a good use of property tax dollars and tax dollars in general. And I don't think that's a healthy conversation on the local level for them to be fighting that much and end up being wasteful with tax dollars. So I wrote a broad bill that would give private schools first right of refusal on those properties. And the goal of that is if a private school gives offers a fair market value, that they get the opportunity to buy that and utilize those. So anyway, so that's that bill is going to be evolving. I do see that being a bill that makes it to the governor's desk eventually, and so I look forward to that. Another local government bill I'll be running a subcommittee on is in regards to library boards, and it's been brought to my attention from a lot of local government people that they would like to have the option to have library boards be an advisory board, kind of like a park board or other boards, instead of how they are now. Sometimes there's some very tricky conversations that happen between library boards and their city councils and stuff that are just very cumbersome. So anyway, I just do what my local governments want me to do as far as introducing legislation to have some of these conversations. It doesn't mean it's actually going to become law, but I think it's something I need to get more educated on, and filing a bill is the start of that process.
Would this be more like piece of study legislation? Let's take a look and see how we can improve this.
Yeah, I think so. I think at the most, like if something that could go to the governor's desk is to allow local governments the flexibility of turning their library boards into advisory boards.
Oh, sure.
It would take quite a bit to make that happen, but I believe at the end of the day that's probably some piece of legislation. Sure. I think will make it through.
Okay. With that going, what other things you've been working on?
Well, this past year, some constituents brought it to my attention that around the state there have been some unhealthy conversations in regards to local governments regulating mental health practices, and so. They wanted me to have a preemption bill that would eliminate that from being a potential topic, a conversation for local governments to have. Do you really want your city council or your county governments telling you what counselors you can or cannot see? I believe that that's not a healthy thing to have, so that's why I brought this bill forward. But it did end up dying in committee because we do value local control, and we didn't know how this would affect some other conversations in regards to zoning laws. So that bill ended up dying within my committee. Mm. And then in education, I was really excited to serve on a couple bills that one would allow school boards to hire chaplains if they want. And again, this is not mandating it, it's just allowing them to do so. I think we all know a lot of pastors in our community that have a wide variety of skills that they can provide to students. And in this time where we have a workforce shortage and we also have a lot of mental health problems, stuff like that, I think we should allow school boards to have this option. And so it did bring up quite a bit of opposition from the opposite party, but I think at the end of the day, this is a great bill, and I look forward to pushing that as well.
So you got a lot of things you're working on. And that's just, those are the things, a lot of the things that you've been focusing on in your committees and stuff. So.
Oh, that's just kind of in my wheelhouse, let alone some of the AEA conversations. Eventually in education committee, I'll be able to get my hands on that a little bit, but so far, those conversations have kind of been between the governor and the committee chairs.
Sure.
And hopefully here within a couple of weeks, we can get that issue resolved.
So if you're in doing things in the education committee, and there's one of the subcommittees would actually be handling some of the stuff on like AEA, and you might not be part of that. So you're missing out then kind of on some of that frontline discussion that's going on, or do you get updated?
So the bill has changed so much from its original form. So since I'm not on the subcommittee, or that there was a subcommittee this week, we passed it through, but it's very clear that we're going to have to amend it a little bit. But so I try to just kind of sit back and observe it until it comes before the full committee. All I've done through this process is try to communicate from my superintendents and AEA people within my district some of their concerns, and overall the number one concern is that I hear from is is the oversight authority that we would be shifting to the Department of Education. That is a large concern for all parties, is empowering the school boards to have more control of their AEA dollars and actually write the checks and know what they're receiving for the dollars that they spend and be better educated on that. I think that's a healthy part of this bill that I hope goes forward.
Yeah, I know, and especially when you get in the rural areas, again, they're pretty well ingrained with having their people work with this. They're looking for working with the same people. That's most of the time. But there are areas, again, and you mentioned this before, there are some areas AEAs have been doing a lot of work in or expenditures in that may not be totally applicable. We could go on the private sector to do some of it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like from my perspective, I think we are getting very good results from the AEAs and stuff as far as the services they provide. But I still have a big concern over the overall price tag of what we're spending. And so the only way that I think we can have improve that is to allow the school boards and superintendents to have more control and more visibility of their dollars in that process of getting their services. And so I think most people, when the dust settles, we'll agree that that would be an improvement to our process and more more responsible way of handling our tax dollars.
Well, I know that people hear a lot about what bills are going on in the legislature, and I'm guessing you more than once have said, you know, a lot of these aren't going to go might not make the funnel, or they might end up as a study bill or something like that. So we've got the funnel coming up, and we will be losing some material going forward, obviously.
Yeah, so funnel is going to be in 2 weeks, and so it's definitely if a bill is concerning to you, reach out to me, and let's have that conversation, and because time is of the essence right now, and things move fast and things die fast. So if there's a bill that you want me to advocate for, that's not on my radar, I need to know, and so I can help advocate for that issue. But bills are going to be dying pretty fast here soon.
I know there were a couple of things you were particularly pushing for. I mean, I know you mentioned a couple of them too. You still got a few other things that are still in the works?
Well, so I'm also trying to research our butchery innovation grant that was started my first year in session. In 2021, and I've had some fun researching, like, how has that benefited Iowa? What are some things that we need to tweak with that? And to give a little update to the listeners, after COVID, we saw that we needed to improve our meat processing industry. We didn't have the capacity to be able to handle the supply, and so we started this grant program for small lockers to help them expand, and since then we've gotten 32 new lockers. To put that in perspective, we have about 150 lockers in the state of Iowa. And so at what point do we maybe shut this grant down? Because there comes a point in time where we have too many lockers or processing plants, and so then we create a poor business environment as well. So I'm going to try to advocate to keep that grant going for at least another year. I think the dust is still settling in this post-COVID world as to the supply and demand of what we need here in Iowa in that industry. And so I think if we allow that grant to keep going for one more year, it'd be very beneficial. So that's another issue I'm kind of keeping a close eye on as the session goes on.
Yep, got to keep track of those things too. And that's like you said, a lot of people, they say, well, that's just good. We can get them a lot of lockers out there. But then again, it does create some business issues for those existing ones too. So,
well, you're seeing a weird kind of situation happening as a result. You see some of these new lockers that are struggling to get business right now, and so they took out quite a bit of loans, but they got help from these grants. But those grants kind of encouraged them to go out and borrow a lot of money to start these plants, and now all of a sudden they're scared because they don't get the business. Well, what happened was a lot of people bought a lot of beef or their needs after COVID, and we haven't seen we see these huge ups and downs within the market. It just hasn't stabilized quite yet to know exactly you know, how much business these plants can count on. And plus, the price of beef is so high right now, and that's another issue.
Yeah.
I talked to some of our existing lockers, and they're actually doing fairly well business-wise. Business is a little bit down, but they're still above water and not scared about their future. So they would like this grant to be active for just existing lockers and not future new ones. And so that's the conversation taking place.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about you, but if I get like half a hog or something like that, I don't get through it in 2 months. It takes a little while.
Yeah.
That's a lot of meat. So that's it. A lot of people do all of a sudden they're stocked. They're stocked up, and then, I don't need to go and get some now. So, and then.
The ripple effects of COVID is still happening, and it just takes time for the dust to settle on that. But, and then you do see this interesting phenomenon happening throughout the United States, where we have the lowest cow numbers since the 1960s. So we're importing a lot of beef, and so then that dribbles into the another issue I'm passionate about, which is land acquisition from the DNR, and cattle producers and stuff need more pasture ground and more places to raise their cattle, and I don't think they should be competing against government. So that opens up a whole new conversation of what I'm trying to work with, which is trying to limit government land acquisition.
Busy time for you. Again, with the funnel coming up, looks like maybe we'll probably visit again about that time and see how things are progressing.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Jesse Green, State Senator, our guest on our program today. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me.